Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tatpujaya Mudiraya. Nastapraye Svabhadresu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, Text 18. Chapter entitled Explanation of the Vedic Path. Please repeat. Yato yato nivarteta.
Yato yato nivarteta.
Vimucheta tatastataha. Esh dharmo nirnam shemaha. Shokamoha bayapaha. Yato yato nivarteta. Vimucheta tatastataha. Esh dharmo nirnam shema. Shoka moha bayapaha. Yato yato nivarteta. Vimucheta tatastataha. Esh dharmo nirnam shemaha. Shoka moha vayapaha. Yata yata. From whatever. Nivarteta. One desists. Vimucheta. He becomes liberated. Tata tata. From that. Esha. This. Dharmaha. The system of religion. Nirnam. For humans. Shema. The path of auspiciousness. Shoka. Suffering. Moha. Delusion. Vaya. And fear. Apaha. Which takes away. By refraining from a particular sinful or materialistic activity. Please repeat. One becomes freed from its bondage. Such renunciation is the basis of religious and auspicious life for human beings and drives away all suffering, illusion and fear. Purport and translation by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, it is stated, Mahaprabhura Bhakta Ganera Vairagya Pradana Yaha Deke Prita Ahana Gaura Bhagavan. Renunciation is the basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Seeing there is renunciation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is extremely satisfied. Because of false ego, one considers himself to be the proprietor, enjoyer of one's activities. Actually, Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, is the proprietor and enjoyer of our activities. Recognition of this fact is in Krishna consciousness leads one to real renunciation. Every human being should perform his prescribed duty as an offering to the Supreme Lord. Then there will be no possibility of material entanglement. Lord Krishna clearly explains in Bhagavad Gita that prescribed duties performed as an offering to the Lord ever liberation from material bondage. Sinful activities cannot be offered to the Lord but must be given up altogether. In effect, the distinction between piety and sin is made so that living entities will become pious and eligible to surrender the Supreme Lord, explained in Bhagavad Gita. Esham Tvanta Gadam Pabam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Dirda Dattaha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. By thorough piety, one's life becomes auspicious and free from lamentation and fear, and one can take the path of Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanatya Mirandhya Sinyananjana Salakya Chaksudanodin Tasmai Shri Guru Namah Musakalaya Sastai Bhuda Sinyadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhanami Namaste Prasrapti Garvani Prasarani Nivisa Sanayavaskar Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vedi Lirada Sasari Gaur Bhaktam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. This chapter is called Explanation of the Vedic Path. Actually, though it's called Explanation of the Vedic Path, if you actually look into it, this particular chapter is actually the path for the fallen souls. We tend to get excited, the Vedic path. But actually what it says is, in the introduction it still says, this is only meant for those who have fallen. Well, then somebody will say, oh, then it's not for us, it's for the others. We always have this tendency when we read these books, Prabhupada writes, you know, the karmi, he does this, he does that, and the devotee, you know, and then, that's him. And the devotee, that's me. You know, we have this kind of thing all the time going on in our minds. So, we have to be careful there. And here it says, it's for the others. Who are these others? Those who cannot perform, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Those people who cannot perform all this. And then those who are inimical to Krishna. If you say about Krishna, they don't believe in God. They have no attraction for God. Don't go away, don't waste my time. And those who are very attached to sense gratification. So this path is for those people, it says in the introduction. And please believe, imagine, this whole thing is spoken by Krishna himself, the boss, that's what I call him. He himself is speaking. So we have to take this very seriously, and we can't say, no this, no that. Now, then, if we say that, that means, coming back to the original thing, others and us, we have to understand one thing, that we are all in this material world. And material world means, why are we here? We all are sinners. Everybody is a sinner, like in the jail, you know. Everybody is a prisoner. No visitors. Of course, if the governor or somebody comes, like a pure devotee, like Prabhupada, the gurus, who come and try to save us, they are visiting, but otherwise, we are all sinners. So then you say, that means we are all sinners, and what is the use, you know? Is there no difference between us and them? Of course there is. The difference is, we are participating in a reformation program, and we are trying. We are not gone there yet. Not done there yet. We are in the reformation program by coming to the temple, by getting up in the morning, doing rounds, and saying, following the four regulated principles, and try not to be naughty. So, by doing all this, we are in a reformation program. And those of you who have already, being in the reformation program means it's like you've already got your ticket to go back home. Now, you haven't, you're stuck here. So, the other thing is, of course, some of you already initiated and all that, you're even, higher. Now, you've not only got your ticket, you've also got your visa. All ready to go, just have to board the plane. But we have to be careful sometimes, from your home to the airport, don't get caught with the taxi driver or somebody on the road and fight with him and waste your time and get distracted. Though the ticket says, I promise you to take to Los Angeles or whatever. But if you don't even reach the airport, then you can't go to your destination. So, as practicing or, as aspirants, we have to be careful that we don't get distracted with so many things. So, though we are all, there is difference, like a Not that every one of us, we are practicing. I've never seen anybody with four hands in my eyes, you know. I've been with this in the movement for so many years. So somebody may say, oh, that is because you don't have divine eyes, you can't see. Let us agree, I can't see four hands. But I have seen four legs and even a tail. People have come to ISKCON. We have done everything. Maybe we have squandered money, run away with people's wives, I mean everything. I'm not going to be critical here, we have to be careful here. So we have to be very careful. The next thing is, many people are not really interested too. Some people are not interested, you know, religion, many people come and tell me too that the cause for today's problems, the wars all over the world, is religion. That's all. They have come to a conclusion, religion means war. Give me a God, a religion which does not speak about war. This lady is an atheist, she goes to South India all the time. And she tells me, you give me a religion which does not talk about war, I will accept the religion. So, there are people too who are not interested because of so many, or abhor these so-called mundane religious principles, because they think it is all dogmatic, and then we become fanatic, and then the next thing we do is take a knife and chop the other person's head. So, the warning is there. Now, that's the introduction. Now we'll come to see what the Vedic system actually says. The Vedic system talks about Purushartha. Purusha and Artha. Purusha means human, Artha means goal. So Purushartha means, what is the goal of human life? You ask anybody, everybody has different kinds of goals. But the Vedas talk about the four goals of human life. In fact, In reality, you can see people living in animal life. This is unbelievable, but it's true. I mean, there are so many examples. So, people have gone beyond animal life. Then they're talking about dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Dharma is following religious principles for economic development. So, you want to follow religion so that you can get some money, you can, you know. What do you do when you get money? Now you want to enjoy yourself. So dharma follows artha, artha follows kama. You want to enjoy. And then finally, with enjoyment what happens? You get frustrated. Then you think about moksha. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if I'm not mistaken, talks about panchama purushartha, which is the fifth goal actually, is prema. That is love of Godhead. Moksha alone, aspiring is one thing, but you should go beyond and develop this love for Godhead, which is prema, and that is the natural guarantee. So to do that, they have the dharma that is explained in the Vedic system. First we have Varnashankara, that means unwanted population. Then there is Varnashrama, which is the four social and occupational orders, so that you can control your senses, live in a way and slowly progress. And then you have Bhagavad Dharma. That means just serving the Lord Himself. Your idea is just focused on just serving the Supreme Lord. That's all is the goal. Now when you come to Varnashankara, we see this all the time. Maybe you won't see in the temple everything is fine. But even in the temple we see this. Anyway, coming back to this Varnashankara, there was a case lately in the medical bulletin. There was this doctor who married, just imagine, even a highly learned person can be so drawn by these kind of things. Was married in the UK, and then he separated, produced a daughter, and then they separated, baby, he came off to Australia, and he was practicing, he was a very famous doctor here. 20 years later, he meets his daughter. She comes here, and they meet. And they live together as husband and wife. Now that is shocking. I mean, a person who is supposed to have intelligence, who is supposed to know the medical problems of, and social and, even the economies of rules and laws. He lives with her and produces two children on top of them. And when story this thing came out, and then he packed her off to back to the UK. Of course, he's been charged, and I mean, it's going on now. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, Varna Shankara, a father marrying his own daughter without even caring for anything. It's unbelievable. So, Varna Shankara is simply living. Varnashrama Dharma is simple living and high thinking. And Bhagavad Dharma is high thinking. So somebody will say, high thinking, how will high thinking, you know, come on man, you have to do something just because high thinking. How will you eat? Varasava devotees, Saridrit, Sariravidya Jal, and then the plate of prasadam is coming in front of you. That's all you have to do, isn't it? It's very simple. But high thinking, like Parivrachacharya, they are only dependent on Krishna's mercy. And because of the total absorption in the service of Krishna, they are automatically taken care of. They don't have to worry about when the next meal will come from. And then, apart from this dharmic principle, there is also what is called the portions of the Vedas. The Vedas have got Karmaganda, Jnanaganda and Upasanaganda. Karmaganda is working very hard or working for fruitive results, ultimately hoping to go to the heaven, heavenly planets and enjoy. That is the Karmaganda portion. And then the Jnanaganda portion is inquiry into the Supreme by speculative knowledge. They speculate on this and they will either want to become one with Krishna or one with God or none with God, depending on their philosophy, impersonalism or voidism. Now, Prabhupada once said that, you know, actually this impersonalism, they have a secret desire to become God. And but it'll sound so bad, you know, you just can't go around and say, I want to be God, you know, that's not good PR exercise. So, or because they can't do that, you can't become God, and they realize it, so they want to become one with God. So that way, they're still becoming God, but it doesn't sound so bad. We all merge in the Brahmajyoti, and you know, so we all become one, so you know, I'm also God. So they keep on saying, you know, that I'm God. Now, in the Upasanakanda is where there is worship. But you have to understand the Vedic system, the worship is for the demigods, the devas. But then, we have to understand all these three systems, whether it's Karmaganda, Jnana. Karmaganda, you go to heaven, it's also stated that you have to come back. Everybody knows that. Then if you do impersonal, already you go to Brahmajyoti, what happens? You have to come back. Already you pay the deva worship. Okay, people say, okay, demigod, what is the best you can do? Best you can do, you still enjoy in the heavenly planets. You still have to go through the birth of, the cycle of birth and death. But anyone with common sense should progress. Supposing, you know, you take your astrology and go and see an astrologer and he says, oh, you know, Mercury is looking at you very badly, so every Wednesday, please go to the temple and you know, they have this Navagraha, nine planets, and then you go there and then you pray to Mercury, the presiding deity of the planet Mercury. And then when you do that, every Wednesday, whatever, and then you will appease him. And then he will take away his bad looks, your life will become very interesting. But then if you go step behind, you see the nine planets. Now who is Mercury? You look at Brahaspati, there's Jupiter, and then you look at Chandra, the moon is there. So what's happening is, in reality, there was Brahaspati is the spiritual master for the devas. And the moon god had an eye for the spiritual master's wife, that is Tara, Brahaspati's wife, which is not good, but it happened. So not only it happens in ISKCON, it happens in the demigods world too. And what happened was, because of this, of course Brahaspati is disturbed, but Tara was the one who initiated. When a woman initiates, be careful. Man can initiate, nothing will happen, but a woman initiates, she'll make sure it happens. And she made sure that, you know, she was living it with Chandra. As a result of this relationship, Tara got pregnant and Brihaspati was very angry. You know, how can my student take away my wife? And then he threatened, he got, of course, all the devas joined in. Normally they'll all be together, but this one. Now the asuras got nothing to do with that, but what he did, because there's a war, okay, we'll join the other fellows. So they said, we'll join Chandra. We'll fight. So it's going to be one of the biggest star wars, almost. And was this is one of, there are 12 star wars actually. Not this one, this star wars, not the real star wars. In the way that there are about 12 major star wars. This one did not take place. Almost about to take place, and everybody came in and stopped the war. And they said, return Tara back to Chandra, and back to Brihaspati, and Tara was returned to Brihaspati, and she was already pregnant. And then Brihaspati was saying, that's my child, and child, my guru. He doesn't know, actually I'm the father of the child. And so there was a paternity suit. Those days there was no DNA test and all that. So they were both claiming, you know, that the child is mine during the pregnancy. While this is going on, then they said, alright, get it from the horse's mouth, call Tara, ask her who's the man responsible. And she said, yes, it is Chandra's child. So the child was born, and that child is Buddha, that is the presiding deity of the planet Mercury. In according to his life, Mercury was, you know, that is how he started, an illicit child, and in between he becomes cursed to become a woman, Ila. So a person who is going and praying to this deity, if he knows this whole story, then should think. And not only that, in Ramayana you see Ravana went and took the 9 plants and made them steps onto his throne. Like that we have 3 steps, so imagine there are 9 steps, and that was his throne. All the 9 planets were lying, and he used to walk one on top of another. That means, even Ravana was controlling the planets. And you also see in Mahabharata, where Sahadevan, when Duryodhan goes to Sahadevan and tells him that I want an auspicious time to win the war. So he gives him, okay, you do battle at this particular date and time, victory is yours. Can you believe it? He is giving his enemy a day so that he will be defeated. And who walks in? Of course, Lord Krishna walks in, because he knows everything. And he said, why was Duryodhana here? He said, he is asking for a good date. And what did you do? I gave him. So you want to lose the war? What can I do? I am committed to my scripture. You know, I can't cheat my scripture. So, what does Krishna do? Of course, Krishna is the master mystic. And he just goes and offers some, you know, some oblations and the thing, and which normally you do on a day called full moon, harmony, amavasya, the dark night. And seeing that, Surya and Chandra, they were thinking that Krishna is making a mistake, and both come there, Lord, what is happening? You know, you made a. What are you doing this? Today is not Amavasya. So he said, no, when the sun and the moon face each other, and that is according to the planetary thing, if you know, that becomes the day. Since you fellows are facing each other, so today is the day. So he changes the whole planetary system. Krishna could do that. And he did that. So people, like wherever way you walk, you know, you can't escape Krishna. You just can't escape. You know, people will try and suppress. But you can't. There was a big Hindu conference here the other day with Prabhu went. I saw the thing. What is on the whole, on the backdrop? Was Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot? You can't. I mean, whatever it is that, you know, you cannot run. And so why I'm saying all this is that it's a problem with me, and I get carried away. So we come back to why bother with all this? You know, somebody might say, okay, why? Okay, if people don't want to believe and all that. You know, people want to do what they think, do my thing, I do your thing. You know, don't disturb me. You know, I'm cool with what I'm doing. So why disturb them? Just leave them alone. That's because the Lord is most merciful. He feels, you know, he feels it's his duty because we are part and parcel, we are actually his children, and we are drifting, and he is just like you know, father, doting father. If this is the child becoming, doing something funny, and then he will definitely bring back the child. Similarly, God, our Father, also is a very, very, the most doting Father actually. He tells us, no, no, come back, don't go. Because he knows that we are going to suffer. We don't know we're going to suffer. We think we're alright. But he knows you're going to suffer. And so he is helping us. So how does he help? If you remember in chapter 12 in Bhagavad Gita, he's saying about, if you can't do this devotional service for me, at least, fix your mind on me. You follow the regulative principle. If you can't do that, then follow the regulative principle. Bhakti Yoga, if you can't do that, then you work for me. If you can't do that, you give up the results. And if you can't do that, develop knowledge. And if you can't do that, meditate upon me. And if you can't, then give up the results, the fruits. And even if you can't do that, just be friend to all. I mean, everybody likes to be a friend to everybody. Isn't it? Everybody likes, So we are friend to all, and then be equipoised too. That means, we are all the time battered with happiness and sadness. Sitoshna sugadukeshu. And then bear it like the weather, Krishna says. Sitoshna is the weather. Sukha and dukkha, they come. Just bear it the weather. Supposing it rains, of course people say, oh, this stupid bloody rain. And then when it's hot, there's all this bloody heat and all. They're all the time cursing. But just as it rains, we know it's raining, but it's going to stop. Listen, it's not going to rain forever, isn't it? We know it's going to stop, so you should lie, So just like that, when you have difficulties and happiness, you have to think that it's only temporary. If you're having difficulty for a while, it has to stop. It will stop. Or if you're having fun, enjoyment, also it will stop. It can't go forever. So, because of the, he mentioned here, bandha, the bondage, the word, English word, bondage, comes from the Sanskrit root word, bandha, bondage. So, bandha means, what happens in bandha, you get attachment, whatever, whether results and get it, whatever. When you have this attachment, what is the result of bandha? Is samsara. Bandha will give you samsara. What do you mean by samsara? Bandha means bondage, attachment. Samsara means the cycle of birth and death. So you'll enjoy and finally you'll die and then take birth. And then you'll enjoy and suffer, then what happens? You die and take birth. So this is what Vedas very clearly say. And because of that, the Lord is the thing. But also, he's very smart. Krishna is very smart. Though the person may not be interested in Krishna consciousness or God or this or that, but any person will be interested in certain things. For instance, people be interested in what is good. People love to be good. They're so nice. Have you seen them loving their dogs and cats? Oh, I can't believe that. How much love they can give. There's so much of love. They can't give that. If only they can give the love to their husband or wife. With the husband and wife, they're fighting like cats and dogs. With the cats and dogs, they love as if they're wife and husband. Just can't believe it. And everything, if you tell them, you'll go to the hospital tomorrow or something, and my cat, I have to do this, I have to do that. It goes on and on and on and on. And then they so religiously take them in the morning and, very nicely for a walk, and with a plastic thing, with a scoop, and then when the little Jimmy does the job, and then go and pick it up nicely. They love it. They're loving it. That's society. And this is alright, okay, it's happening in West, alright, fine. I mean, in streets of Coimbatore, you see an Ayur, a Brahmin is doing the same thing. And if you ask him, Swami, why are you doing this morning walk with the dog? He's also Atma. Don't forget. He's also Atma. He will give a religious explanation. You are Atma, I am Atma. Dad is also Atma, should be able to take. So, the point is, So good health, health, nutrition. We are like, everybody talks about food. You open the magazines, everybody is talking what food to eat. I mean, you know, all kinds of funny things, of course. So the Lord, knowing that people are interested in all kinds of things, so He says that in this particular verse, He's saying, or in this particular chapter, He says, look at the certain places you stay, certain times you choose, certain things that are pure, and activities and mantras, and He is telling. That means don't go and stay in, you know, that means it's an opportunity. If you lose certain things here, though you have no interest, you know, suppose you go no interest in the temple, you tell somebody, don't stay close to the temple, go and have prasad. So at least by coming to the temple and having prasad here, no, I don't want God, I don't want anything, but I don't mind food. But he takes the prasad and then he gets, you know, some introduction, and then he says, these people are nice. Nothing wrong with them, they're not crazy. They're alright. So like that, so the feeling of interest. Person might say, I don't, you know, somebody will say, I like to read. Then you give a BDG. Somebody might say, I like art. I said, come to our temple, look at, you know, the dailies, you know, that's art. Give them a book, Krishna Art, Windows to the Spiritual World, Prabhupada called it. So like that, somebody would like to eat, then we give them some process. So somehow or other, dovetailing the interest, and slowly, even if not this birth, in the next birth you will do it. That's the whole idea about this particular chapter on explanation of Vedic path. Now in today's path, renunciation has been talked here, renunciation. So what is renunciation? Renunciation is to drive away, it says, Krishna says, it drives away all suffering, illusion and fear. Now renunciation is a big time thing. In fact, there are religions based on renunciation alone. For instance, I'm not supposed to be fast. For instance, in Buddhism and Jainism, the main concept is renunciation. But there are, of course, these days there are, you know, high-flying Buddhists, like Richard Gere. I know there are a lot of Hollywood stars who love Buddhism. But Buddhism means renouncing. That means shave your head, bald, take a thing and go around begging. Not having a new girlfriend every week. And then when the Dalai Lama comes, take the front seat, pay $2,000 for the front seat, and then, that's not Buddhism. Buddhism means renunciation. In Jainism, for instance, they are so strict, initially they were so strict, they used to say that attachment is bad. So no attachment at all. So they don't even wear clothes. And the men and women, not wearing clothes and walking around in a temple, that becomes pretty far out. It's almost like a nudist camp. So that was what they were doing. And then they say, hey, that's not right. Something's wrong here, you know. So, no, but you have no attachment. You have attachment, then you can't get your liberation. You can't get liberated. So, but anyway, the ladies have to be covered, they say. So they covered the ladies. I don't know how many of you have seen Jains, of course, people from India know. Jains, you'll see, they have covered their, they have a white piece of cloth across the mouth, they carry a broom, and they'll be walking like this. They're not performing operation. That thing is to stop the insects or whatever bacteria from going into. They don't want to eat anything. Alright? And they don't want to step on any insects or whatever, so they keep sweeping and walking around. Which is a, you know, can you imagine, in the middle of Mumbai doing all this? People do that. Now, so basically it's based on renunciation. So what happened was, when they went to this extent, and then they said that the women have to be clothed and the men need not be clothed, that is also funny, all the women looking at all these funny things. So, and then, but the rule became that those who are wearing clothes, they can't get liberated. That only those who are not clothed will get liberated. So of course the women are very unhappy about it, naturally. You know, that means, you know, the women can't. So they came to the conclusion, women cannot get liberated. So that went on. Of course nowadays they are all clothed, you know, otherwise nobody will go anywhere. So similarly to Buddhism too. But the point is, renunciation and enjoyment, let's see what Prabhupada explains. Srila Prabhupada says, there is renunciation, there is enjoyment going on with us all the time. And he says it's like the pendulum of a clock. Tick-tock, tick-tock. This is exactly what he said.
take
means enjoyment, enjoying. And then you get frustrated, talk, you want to renounce. And then you get fed up, renouncing, today I want to kill myself. And then you go back again, and then you renounce, you enjoy, you renounce, enjoy, you go on like that. So that is how we generally people do things. So the philosophy here is, whether you enjoy or whether you renounce, you will have to do it for Krishna. That's the philosophy. When you do both for Krishna, then you are very safe. Isn't it? We have like Nirjala Ekadasi, we have got Bhishma Panchaka, we got so many things. We also do a lot of sacrifices. But we are not doing for own enjoyment or for own, see I am doing this. Of course some people might do it. But generally we are doing it for the satisfaction of the Lord. So when you are renouncing, you are satisfying the Lord. And we enjoy, we get a lot of bhoga, then we cook a lot of preparations and then we offer to the Lord. And when you offer to the Lord, and then after that you enjoy, in the sense you partake the mercy of the Lord. He has already tasted, it's become prasadam now, and then you take it. So, the devotee thinks that that's the way to enjoy. Now, he is not disturbed by this way or that way. That's the other thing about the bhakti yoga process is, you're not disturbed, he doesn't care. He's not disturbed by renunciation, he's not disturbed by sense enjoyment. Because it's all dovetailed towards Krishna. So, he is in a very safe position. There have been, you know, in where I come from, there are some monasteries which practice Buddhism and they have to strictly practice this, you know, renunciation. That means they are not allowed interaction with the ladies at all. They are very strict. But then, you will find that so much of hold on takes place. So much takes place because it's impossible, almost. It's so difficult for them to. So, talking about this, so the devotee's position is very, very safe, whether here, whatever he's doing. Reminds me of a simple story. This person's name is Anantalwar, who is one of the disciple of Ramanuja. And his service was garland making, so all the garland making people can be very happy. So his service to the Lord was garland making. So one day he was in the garden and he plucked flowers. While plucking flowers, he was bitten by a snake. And Anantalwar, of course, you know, he's one of the foremost disciples and a very, very powerful devotee. He couldn't be bothered. He went on plucking the flowers and, you know, interesting, made the garland. And what a speciality about Anantalwar was, Anantalwar is not one of the 12 Alvas, you know. Okay, that's another story. Coming back to this, his speciality was he could converse directly with the Lord. They actually have a conversation. Some of them, a few of those people in Ramanuja's time could actually talk to Ranganath or Lord Vishnu directly. They could speak to him. And Anantalwar was one of them. And he couldn't be bothered. So anyway, he took the garland and he put it on the neck of the Lord. This was happening in Tirupati. And the Lord asked, what are you doing? He said, no, I'm just garlanding. I know, but you know, you look at your leg, you know. So what? You know, a snake bit you. A snake bit you. And you're supposed to go and get some medical attention. Isn't it? A lot of people want medical attention. And you know, what are you doing? You know, you're not doing anything about it. So he says, if I am not poisoned, I'll be serving you here. If I am dead, I'll be serving you there. What's the difference? It's the same. So, that is a clue. So, in devotional service, we get a lot of bonuses like this. I mean, I'm not telling our devotees when they get bitten by a snake or something to do the same thing. Please seek medical attention. We are not there yet. Always we must understand, we are not there yet. You know, we are already, we've got our ticket sent, but we've not gone there yet. So this is called Pravritti Mark, Nivritti Mark and the Bhakti Mark. The Pravritti Mark is where you do things to get result. And the Nivritti Mark is you renounce because you know that if you get results, you're getting attached. Attachment means bandha. Bandha means samsara, which means cycle of birth and death. So you want to avoid that. Now, Bhakti Mark is safe. Because bhakti marga means just serving the devotional service for his own satisfaction. So you don't, there's nothing, there's no, no, only good results, but no bad results. Now what happens, this is called pala bhajana. Pala bhajana, when you do the pravritti marga, when you're looking for results, then you're absorbed in the results. Suppose you work very hard and then you get some money and then you're so happy. Look, oh, I worked so hard, I got my money, and you know. So that is your absorption in the phala, in the result. And in the nivritti mark, you are absorbed in the renunciation, in the tyaga. The tyaga bhajana. You're so happy, you know, that, oh, look, I don't do this, I don't do that. And so you're so absorbed in your renunciation. And in the bhakti mark, what do you do with bhakti bhajana? That means your absorption is on devotional service. So you have a great, say you have a great feast and or festival rather, and we have a great festival and the festival is over, everybody's eaten up to the neck and nobody can move, everybody's rolling on the floor. And what the devotee will think? The next festival, you know, we must even do better. More this, more that. That's how the devotee will think. How to make it better? How to make it so that more people will come? And so his absorption is only bhakti. So that is where I say, because even Krishna says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says about this, about the Krishna bhakta is niskama, ata eva shanta, and bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanta, which means the Krishna devotee, he is not at all in anxiety. He is shanta. Saka eva shanta. He is always, you know, not in happy, he is not in anxiety. But the bhuktikami and muktikami and siddhikami, because they are all looking for result. Each one wants result. He wants, each has his own. One plus goal is material gains, the other one's goal is going to heaven, or becoming one with God, and the other one is perfection. The siddhis, they want perfection. They want to walk on fire, they want to eat fire maybe, or they want to, you know, everything the other way around. So they are looking for siddhis. See, all these people are also, because of the anticipation or expectation, they are in anxiety. Now, but when you become a devotee, you not only are not disturbed, become peaceful, but also you have to understand that the material nature will help you. Material nature, Krishna says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti. See, this material nature of mine works under my control. So most of us think that we already control it. Just because we can do this, we can do that. And then we think we are already controlling material nature. And suddenly we get one slap and then we are wondering what happened. I love my wife so much, yesterday she ran away with my neighbor. You get shocked, why, what happened? You know, the shocks are coming all the time. But still you say, no, that's okay, I found my neighbor's other wife. And you know, it goes on like that. People are happy this way. But the point is, what I'm saying is that we are getting slapped all the time. And though we think we are in charge, we are not in charge. We all know that. I mean, we better know that. I mean, you don't know that, then, you know. So, material nature will help. And there are so many instances in the lives of devotees where material nature actually helps. How, one example that comes to me is this person called Raghavendra Swami in the south. Now, this is a great saint, and then he meets this Nawab of Adoni. This is a Muslim sultanate, and the sultan was known as Nawab there. And the Nawab has heard about Raghavendra, that being a very pious person and all that. So one day, the Swamiji was passing through, and then he wanted to see this Nawab, so he gets the audience. So the Nawab, what he does was, he wants to test this Swamiji. So it's as a custom, you know, when a holy person comes, you give them some, you know, some foods to eat and some donation and alms and all that. So the Nawab called his cook and said, cook all this non-vegetarian, you know, meat and whatever. There's all kinds of dish, all made of animals. And they made this, and then he said, cover with a beautiful cloth. And they put a nice yellow cloth on top of this, all these meaty dishes. And then it was offered to the servants brought and said, okay, please enjoy this from the king. Of course, Raghavendra Swami knew what was going on. He took out his kamandala and took his water and he sprayed on the thing. And then he took out the cloth. It was a platter, it was a food platter, fruits, full of fruits. It had become fruits. So this is where when people or saintly persons who are very, very highly advanced, where material nature actually, though it's controlled by the Lord, because you are such a pure devotee of the Lord, material nature will come and assist you. You know, there are versions like that in so many places. But most importantly, what happened after that was, of course, the Nawab was shocked, and then he said, okay, whatever you want, please ask, I'll give you. And then he said, I want a piece of land in Manchale. There's a place called Manchale in the border of Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. And he said, that's a barren piece of land, there's nothing there. Why do you want that? I'll give you some fantastic land with water running all the time and fertile soil. I'll give you villages, I'll give you vast lands and all that. He refused. He said, no, I just want just that particular piece of land. And anyway, the Nawab said, okay, whatever you want, you take it. And then he later told his disciples, that place is where Prahlad, King Prahlad, was meditating in Dwapara Yuga, meditating meditating on Lord Rama and that particular place. And that's why he wanted that. It is stated that Raghavendra himself is in a partial expansion of Prahlad, Prahlad Maharaj. And that place is now called Mantralaya, and is a very, very famous place. So then again somebody might ask, but why? Why devotional service? And there are so many things, why perform? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:2, Susukam Kartum Avyayam. Susukam Kartum Avyayam. Which means, Susukam means joyful, and Kartum Avyayam can perform with ease. Easy to perform. Bhakti Yoga is the easiest to perform. Very easy. Others are so difficult, so complicated. This is so easy. So why don't we perform that? So let us say. Now, sinful activity, again, this subject is discussed in this verse, sinful activity and pious activity. Now, why is this? Sinful activity and pious activity is, in the Vedic system is concerned, the obverse and the reverse of the same card, the same coin. You know, you've got a coin, you've got two sides of a coin. So one side is sinful activity, one side is pious activity. That's how the Vedas say. So why the difference in why one does this and why one does that? Because of ignorance and knowledge. When a person is ignorant, that activity that he performs becomes sinful. When that activity, the person does as knowledge, that activity becomes a pious activity. If he does it for himself, his own sense, enjoyment, then it becomes sinful. But if he does it for the benefit of all, then it becomes a pious activity. And in so stating, it says, the confusion is aham mama iti anjana. Aham means I am, mama means mine. This ignorance. What ignorance? This ignorance of considering everything as I am and mine. You can see a boy is playing with the ball. Very nicely, he's going good. And another boy comes, pulls the ball. Mine. Okay, let's play. He said, no, mine. You can't play, I can't play. Mine, I'll keep it. This is mine. So, a lot of philosophy we can learn actually from children. Behavior, we can understand. Because the same thing. Children behavior, adult behavior, the same thing. Only the objects are different. This fellow will be pulling a ball and the adult will be pulling a woman, that's all. So the objects are different, but the behavior is the same. And so, ahamamayidhiyan, because of this ignorance, so if we can understand that Krishna is the proprietor and enjoyer of everything, that's what it says in this verse, Krishna is the supreme proprietor and enjoyer, which means he is Adi Purusha, that's what it means. And If we can understand that, in Ishopanishad it says, Isa Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Everything belongs to Krishna. Today the worst problems are all related to that. Everybody is fighting. There are two groups, the working class and the rich class, or the ruling class, or the capitalist class, we can say. Now this fellow, the capitalist class, somehow or other manipulates the workers and he'll make the money. And then the ruling class will, of course the working class will go and join together and finally topple them and come over. This is what you call basically communism and capitalism. It is all available in different countries in different forms, and this is going on. And Prabhupada actually said that capitalism, he said communism will fail and so will capitalism. So communism failed, we all saw that. Now, capitalism, we were all wondering how it's going to fail. But right now, there's a big challenge going on in the world. In Europe, as you know, that Greece is gone, and Spain and Portugal are next in line, and Britain and Germany are very scared, America has its problems. Of course, Kevin Rudd says everything is fine, you don't know what's going to happen. I'm not a politician, I'm just saying, but what Prabhupada said, in fact, I want to quote what Prabhupada says. He says, the capitalist cannot curb the communist by political maneuvering, nor can the communist defeat the capitalist simply by fighting for stolen bread. See, both also wrong, both also are sinful. They are sinful too, and this fellow is sinful. And as a result, they will be punishable by the laws of nature. The communists have had their punishment. Now it's time for the capitalists. I don't know. I'm just saying. So what we have to understand is that we have to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the proprietor, enjoyer, everything. And that understanding of recognizing this information, that is Krishna consciousness. And we have to understand we are part and parcel, and we have to act as part and parcel. Why do we have to act as part and parcel of Krishna? Because we are part and parcel. That's why we are. So we have to act as part. Now time is running out, so I will, like enough, Dennis, I wanted to say something else, but this Anantalvar has come into my mind. This Anantalvar was one of the foremost disciples of Ramanuja, and when Ramanujacharya wanted somebody to go, because those days Tirupati was barren, and he wanted somebody to go and do some service in Tirupati. So he asked volunteers, and of course, those days Tirupati is not what you do, you can even fly to Tirupati today. Those days is all barren, it's all full of rocks then. And the service was to start to start flower gardens. So Anantalvar is a young man, and he raised his hands. He said, I will help and I will go. So Anantalvar goes and of course Ramanuja was very pleased with him, with a big crowd, this young man taking the big job. And he says that, you are my hero. It's there in the history. Me, Antillai, he says, you are my hero to take this big tough job for me. Okay, now the interesting story begins now. He goes to Tirupati with his wife who's pregnant, and there's no help, and he has to do this whole thing to develop a beautiful garden for the Lord. So they start drinking, you know, there's got a scroba and his wife there, and his son is on that, you know, Indian son. And he's going with the scroba and digging the mud, and then she's got the basket, and he fills the basket for her, and she goes and drops it. And it's a long walk by the time she's coming, and she's pregnant, and you know, she's hardly eaten, and it's so hot, and you can imagine the whole thing. But they're all totally absorbed doing the service for the Lord. That time, a small boy comes there. He's about less than 12, and he comes there, and he says to Anantalvar, can I help? Oh, before that, what happened was the wife says, look, I'm tired, I want to take some rest. And she said, okay, go in under the tree for a while. And, you know, she's resting under the tree. And so this boy comes in and says, sir, can I help? So another looks at him, he's a small boy. I mean, those days there was no child labor. So he looks at him and he said, get out, he's such a small boy. What can you do? You know, go away. And He said, no, I can do something for you and all that. So he chased him in. Then he had this crowbar, he took the crowbar and said, I'll spike you, get out of here, otherwise they'll hit you. So the boy runs away. He runs away and he sees his, Mataji there under the tree. And then he calls, he says, oh Mataji, that time there was no ISKCON, you know, otherwise the Mataji would have said, call me Prabhu, you would have said that. So Mataji and the mother, that is mother, mother was so happy when he heard that sound, Dushyant, she was ecstatic. When this child called her, oh mother, the lady was ecstatic. And something went into her. And then he said, yes son, what can I do for you? And he said, look, I would like to help. So, you stay here, I will replace you and I'll go and help. And anyway, it's so hot in you, you're so tired, you need to rest and all that. So he said, yes, go. So he takes one of the cloth that the mother had, so he covered it like this and put the basket and he came back. So he looked as if that the wife is back. So Ramanuja took the thing and put it on his back. The boy was doing the job so quickly, he was going and coming back, so come on, and it went on like that. And so Anantalvar was shocked. He said, how come suddenly, there's so much of activities, things happening so fast. Then he looked and he saw this boy and he was very angry, oh, you're back, you wretch, you come back to disturb me, the whole thing. And then he throws the thing and takes the crowbar and is running like Yashoda running with the stick after Krishna. He's running to, and then, he climbs up a tree and he said, get down, you rascal, I'll teach you a lesson. He said, no, you beat me and all that. Then he said, I'll give you, and he entices him, okay, you don't beat me, I'll give you my earring. Up with a long, nice story. So he gives the earrings, he drops the earrings, and he tries so many things. And finally he gets down, but he gets down and Anantalvar tries to catch him, but he can't catch him, he runs away. So he follows him and then they go to the temple, reach temple area. And then at that time, before they're reaching already, Ramanuja is so angry, he throws the crowbar at him. He cuts his chin here of the boy and he starts bleeding. And then he runs into the temple, opens the door, runs into the temple and disappears into the temple. And then he searches and he can't get in. So he goes back home. Evening, the archakas come, the pujaris come to open the temple and they see that the boy there and they tell him to open the temple and then the boy opens the temple and then he goes away. Then they look at the deity has got a chip in the chin and the bleeding, so much of bleeding is going on from the chin. And then straight away they're wondering what to do and then Anantalvar was informed and he comes and sees that the bleeding's from the chin. And then he realizes that, the boy was none other than Lord Srinivas himself. And he had come to help him. And of course, he asked for forgiveness, oh lifter of the Govardhan, and I've sinned against you, and please forgive me, and all that. And the Lord says, no, this is a pastime. Your mark on my chin will be a permanent one, just like my Srivatsa on my chest. Srivatsa is a tuft of hair on the chest of Lord Vishnu or of Krishna. So he said, just like that, this mark will be on my chin forever. And he said that crowbar that he threw, he said, take that and place it in the entrance, the grand entrance known as Mahadwar. So leave the crowbar there so people in future can see that this thing really happened, happened. And that was the interesting exchange and it ended up like that. So here, in our philosophy, when you serve God, God serves you. This is only in our philosophy. Any other philosophy, they'll chop your head off if you say that. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is driving, he's riding the chariot for Arjuna. That means what? He's become the driver. How can God become your driver? It's terrible, isn't it? So, but that's the philosophy. But if you serve, of course, we have to serve Krishna nicely for all that to happen. But we are not doing that so that he'll become our servant. We are doing all this because we want to be proper servants to Krishna. That is our motive. With that, I forgot to tell you, the chin, what happened was because of the bleeding, he keeps the camphor. And he puts the camphor to stop the bleeding. So Lord Srinivas would say, yes, you know, from now on every day offer this camphor to me as every day. So every morning he'll put camphor on his chin. That's part of the offering that goes on. I think it's a beautiful story. Hare Krishna, any comments, questions? It is, yeah, but that is not called, when you attach to Krishna, result of Krishna and all that, it's like karma, karma vikarma. You know, when you, anything to do with Krishna, then it becomes negated. Though, it's, yeah, technically speaking, you're talking about result, but it is not a, when you're talking about results, you're talking about sense gratification for your own enjoyment. But anything to do with Krishna, then the whole, the big game. You know, like even in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, act. First he says, act, then he says, don't act, renounce. Then he says, act because it's your prescribed duty. Then he says, whatever results you give it to me, you know. So, act and you give the results to Krishna, then it's no more acting. Your results are not you, I mean, you're planning your results, but for the satisfaction of the Lord. So that way it doesn't become a karmic result, which means enjoyment and attachment and samsara. Karma means performing an activity. See, vikarma means performing an obnoxious activity. That means in a, even the material also fix you. Forget about Krishna's laws. Karma means an activity where you get a result, good or bad. You enjoy sattva, go on. Now, akarma means an activity for the satisfaction of the Lord, no result, no attachment, that means you're free. So that activity you're talking about is akarma. You're performing for the satisfaction of the Lord. So there is no, nothing. The only result is liberation. Go home. You have done enough. Come back to me, son. You have realized it, okay, time to come back. Incredible.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. About the doctor's pastime from UK, he produced children with a 20-year-old girl.
With a 20-year-old daughter. His own daughter. The doctor was married and separated and he came here to Australia. 20 years later, the girl came looking for him. They met each other and they lived together and they produced two children. Which is illegal, illicit, obnoxious, everything put here. Okay, carry on, no problem. What's your question?
How it was illegal because she was more than 18.
Your own daughter, man. Can you marry your own daughter? Can you marry your sister? It's all illegal, isn't it? You can?
In Australia.
In Australia you can marry a cat or a dog. But can't marry your own sister, your own child. There are laws, of course. You can't have sex with a girl who is underage. That's called rape. Even with consent, it's rape. The material laws are very tough. You see, even if you want to become a sinner, it's very tough. But people with sense enjoyment, they do crazy things. Like yesterday, okay, I'll give you this one. The police are baffled. Their caps are all upside down. There was a car, 7 people in the car, in somewhere in St. Kilda or some place, I don't know, I'm not exactly, but in the city. Can you imagine 7 people in the car? That means 2 in front, 4 in the back. Where was the 7th fellow? Was in the boot, at the back. All drinking and high on drugs or whatever. And going through the city roads, they whacked another car, and they all ran away. One or two fellows were caught because of their injuries, the rest ran away. And they wondered how they could do it, 4 o'clock in the morning. See, the accident people will go to do things to thinking that it's all enjoyment.
N.T. Ramarao.
N.T. Ramarao.
He married at the age of 70.
Yeah.
Why he was in the ruling
empire? Because they call him Rama, Lord Rama. So what can you do? People are so stupid, isn't it? That's true.
I was remembering a comment on this is talking, you know, you're talking about the paradoxes of modern society, and part of it is we're starting in the time, etc. But it hasn't evolved. Right? So the dog is welcome, but they're killing the child in the womb. Right? The dog's welcome, the child not welcome. The child in the womb would cut the dog.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.